This week, those of us who have been journeying with our week of prayer done by Pastor Brown, Sabbath, we looked at ministering like Jesus. On Sunday, experiencing the power of faith. On Monday, preaching, reaching the whole person. On Tuesday, living a life of faith. On Wednesday, maintaining positive attitude. Thursday, reaching the cities. Last night we looked at reaching the world. Today we'll be looking at following Christ's method. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we seek your direction now and ask you to breathe on your word as we listen. May we be energized to do what you have asked us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Following Christ's method. So many of us use and follow man's method in reaching people. And so we do not reap maximum benefit when we do that. But when we follow Christ's method, we're bound to succeed. The reading is by Ellen White. When Christ sent out his 12 disciples on their first missionary trip, what did he ask them to do? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were told to heal the sick. What else? I know you are hungry now, I know that. But we'll be out of here by one. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely also give. Can we still do these things? By the power of God, if we allow ourselves for Him to use us, we still can do them. The giving of the gospel to the world is the work that God has committed to those who bear His name. For hurt, sin, and misery, the gospel is the only antidote to make known to all mankind the message of the grace of God is the first work of those who know its healing power. The world needs today what it needed 1900 years ago, a revelation of Christ. A great work of reform is demanded. And it is only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. What are the keys to true success? Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. There is a need for us to come close to people by personal effort. If less time were given to sermonizing, and we're not saying sermonizing is not important, and more time were spent in personal ministry, greater result would be seen. Doug Batchelor this morning mentioned while he was preaching, a lady walked out of church, and he was wondering what was happening. The lady went out and interviewed his driver. What kind of man is this? He has been preaching and saying this and saying that, but how about his life? Does his life measure up to his word? And the gentleman said, yes, he is a good man. The poor needs to be ministered to. The poor are to be relieved. The sick cared for. The sorrow and bereavement are bereaved, comforted. And as we mentioned this morning about our in gathering, it's to help in these areas. And we need to do our part so that these people can be comforted. The ignorant instructed for education. The inexperienced counseled. We are to weep with those that weep. The song says, you know, that we are to weep with those who weep. We are to care for the dying. And we are to rejoice with those that rejoice. Accompanied by power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God, this work will not and cannot be without fruit if we do it faithfully. We need to walk as Jesus walked. Amen. Talk as Jesus taught. Teach as Jesus taught. Feed the needy. Clothe the naked. In almost every community, there are large numbers who do not listen to the preaching of God's word or attend any religious service. If they are reached by the gospel, it must be carried to their homes. And often, the relief of their physical need is the only avenue by which they can be approached. Around us, we have these gated communities. How are we going to reach them? We will have to find out what are their needs and find a way of getting in there to let them know that Jesus loves them and he wants to save them. If they are sick, you know, your neighbors, they are sick or he or she is sick, and you assist by going to the pharmacy to get the medication for such person, you then can tell them about Jesus and his love. Amen? If they are hungry and you give them a nice bowl of rice and peas and chicken. No, not chicken, tofu. Then you can tell them about Jesus. Many have no faith in God and have lost confidence in man, but they appreciate acts of sympathy and helpfulness. What if you are coming to church one morning and your neighbor is very, very ill and he or she needs to go to the doctor? Would you forego church and take that person to the doctor? As they see one with no inducement of earthly praise or compensation come into their house, ministering to the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, comforting the sad, and tenderly pointing all to him of whose love and piety the human worker is but the messenger. And as they see this, their hearts are touched. Gratitude springs up. Faith is kindled. They see that God cares for them, and they are prepared to listen as his word is open to them. And we know that some people abuse God's mercy. Those who might have some needs. And God is expecting us not to feed the greedy, but to feed the needy. Yes? Serious. God is expecting us also to teach them to fish so that we don't have to give a fish all the time. So we must minister to the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, comfort the sad, tenderly pointing all to him who is love. Everywhere there's a tendency to substitute work for organization and for individual effort. Human wisdom tends to consolidation and centralization, to the building up of great churches and institutions. Multitudes leave to institutions and organization the work of benevolence. They excuse themselves from contacting with people. Their hearts grow cold. They become self-absorbed and unimpressible. Love for God and man dies out of this soul. They don't want to be in touch with humans, so they join an organization and lock themselves there. And I'm not saying these organizations are not good, and they play their role faithfully and well. But we're living in an age where this generation is, they are concerned more about things. Absorbed with the tablets, and have more love for electronic gadgets than more love for people. Our own little ones in church here, I recall some weeks ago, a number of them were nearby to my door, where I think the Wi-Fi is really hot there. And I passed and I say hello to them. They don't see Pastor yet, because they were absorbed on their tablets and their phones. That's the generation in which we live. People don't want to make contact with people. And this is what God has called all of us to do. Wisdom tells us that we need to talk to people. There are so many people who are burdened, who have needs that they want somebody to, they want to share it with somebody. And sometimes we overlook these needs and we don't minister to them. Now, Christ commits his followers an individual work. You have a work. I have a work. And sometimes it would appear as if only pastors have the work. But all of us have the work. Amen. Maybe I'm paid to do the work, but you have the work too. You must be out there reaching out to people, a work that cannot be done by proxy. Ministry to the sick and the poor, the giving of the gospel to the lost. And there are so many hopeless and lost people around us that we must minister hope to. This is not left. I should not be left to committees and organization of charities. Individual responsibility, individual effort. You know, I'm reminded of my wife. Hello? I told her that I went to a particular place that the church does business with, to say to them, seeing that you have been doing business with the church, you need to make a contribution to our in-gathering. I did that. Don't get the money yet. But she said, Pastor, that is not how you must do it. You know, you must go to individual. Looking at me. And this is what the message is saying. That we must meet person, people, meet them where they are. Minister to them where they are. Go out in the highway and the edges. Compel them to come in to God's church. This is Christ's command. That my house may be what? Filled. He brings men into touch with those whom they seek to benefit. Bring the poor that are cast out by the house. He says, when thou seest the naked, thou shalt do what? Cover them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So something is wrong with us if that is not happening. We need more of God's spirit. More faith, Sharon. And through direct contact, through personal ministry. The blessing of the gospels are to be communicated. How we live. Our neighbors know us to be. A matter of fact, two things happened to me yesterday. One, we usually go to this place to buy juice on the weekend. My wife said the person who delivered at her school, she would get juice, she would buy the juice from that company. So I should rest my company for a while. I said, okay. She called me yesterday. I stayed home one day out of the week. That was Friday. She called and said, listen, this thing not working out. So call the company you always buy from. It's getting late now. I called. When I called, I said, okay, can I order the juice and when I come, I pay the money? And then she said, no. But she's going to put me on to the cashier. I didn't know the cashier's name. I always go to her, pay her and what have you. But the cashier said that we close at 3 o'clock. But I'll wait until 4. I said to her, do you remember the man who always buy such and such a quantity? And she said, yes, you mean the pastor? Now, I've never discussed anything about any pastor, any church with this lady. Never. She stayed. My wife went and picked up the juice later on. Then another one. I went to collect some clothes at the cleaners, but the man, he wasn't finished with them on Thursday. So I had to go back on Friday. I called and I asked him, what time do you close? He said, 5 o'clock. I said, I'm maybe a little late. Now I've been taking my clothes to these cleaners for a while, but never discuss anything about religion. When I went, I reached 5 after 5. When I collected the clothes, he said, nobody can say, Pastor, that you come for your clothes 6 o'clock. I've never discussed anything like that, who I am with that man. So I'm just telling you, people are watching you. They know if you are living what you're preaching. Amen. So whether we know it or not, you can't fool yourself. They know more than you. Yes. The Church of Christ is organized for service. It's not just to come here on a warm bench and have a good time. Its watchword is ministry. Amen. Its members are soldiers. Lady soldiers, men soldiers, and we have a mission. Amen. We have a mission to be trained for conflict under the captain of our salvation. Christian ministry, physicians, teachers have a broader work than many have recognized. They are not only to minister to the people, but to teach them to minister. As I mentioned before, teach a man how to fish so that you do not have to give him a fish every day. Every member should be involved in this training thing. Every church member should be engaged in some line of service for the master. We all have strength, areas that we would like. And that's why during this time of the year, during our election time, we would want to know what areas you would like to participate in church. What areas, what ministry, what you would like to do so that we can plug you in that area. Some cannot do so much as others. But everyone should do his utmost to roll back the tide of disease and distress as we go through this whole matter of the Ebola and the chick V. Every next person the chick has been biting, No, it's a serious thing. Very, very serious thing. I overheard one lady on Thursday, my wife and I went to the supermarket. She was walking and limping a little bit. She saw her uncle. And she said, "Uncle so-and-so." And she said to her uncle, "Listen, is it right where that knee that has slid in the house, is it right there so the chick feed it?" I'm saying this thing, people have been having relapse. I've been having relapse. They believe they got over it, but it's coming back. I don't know. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. Yes, Jesus is able to help. He can heal us. Its members should be taught how to give. Members should be taught how to give Bible studies, how to conduct our teacher Sabbath school class, how best to help the poor, how to care for the sick, how to work for the unconverted. Many times we have the opportunity and we lose it. There should be schools of health, cooking schools, and classes in various lines of Christian health work. There should not only be teaching, but actual work under experienced instructors should be given. Let the teacher lead the way in the work among the people, and others uniting them will learn from their example. One example is worth more than many precepts. We must work for others now, because time is running out. Whether we believe it or not, nothing will so arouse self-sacrificing zeal and broaden the strength and strengthen the character as engage in the work of Christ. My professed Christians, in seeking church relationship, think only of themselves, some people. They wish to enjoy church fellowship, pastoral care. They become members of a large, prosperous church and are content to do little for others. They sit on their laurels and hope to do little, but they boast about the nice church that they are into. In this way, they are robbing themselves of most precious blessings. Many would be greatly benefited by sacrificing their pleasant, easy, conducing associations. They need to go where their energies will be called out. In Christian work, they can learn to bear the responsibility. And sometimes you don't have the energy to go. But I guarantee you, if you go, you will be blessed and you will never want to stop going to help somebody. There are so many people around us who need our help. But none need wait until called to some foreign lands. We can do the work right here, because the work just staring us in our faces. The needy, they are at the bus stop, they are at the intersection, they are in the girls' home, they are in the foster homes. The need is so great. Church members should educate themselves to do the work. Don't lose the opportunity, the current opportunity, to witness for the Lord. And you must not love your life so much that you fear about talking about Jesus. I recall a few Wednesdays ago, I was coming from Agley Park one evening, one night at least. And this guy, two guys in their under, big muffler, blasting on their music, expletives. And I said, "I don't care what want to happen. I am going to talk to them." And I drove up at the stoplight right beside them, and I used two words. My sons. My sons. Nothing else. They turned off the music and they said, "Dad, I'm sorry." And they drove off. I'm just telling you, we need to know how to reach people without even telling them about the Sabbath. At our workplace, among our colleagues, among our friends, how we live is important. That speaks volume. You don't have to tell everybody and load everybody with the Sabbath. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be overbearing as Seventh-day Adventists. All we need to do is to live. Amen? Live and look for some important needs in the lives of people and minister to those important needs. And when it comes on to tell them about Jesus, they will be open to listen to you. Amen? They'll be open to listen to you. And so, we have a work to do. Everyone who offers himself to the Lord for service, withholding nothing, is given power for the attainment of measureless result. And I want our young people to hear this. I'm going to read it again. To everyone who offers himself to the Lord for service, withholding nothing, is given what? Power for the attainment of measureless result. For these God will do great things. I read it again because I know when it comes on to school and studying, some people know business about church. I'm serious. We don't business with church. Only Sabbath we come church. And some of you parents don't need some whipping at your bottom too. Because you don't care the children, the young people. They can't come because they don't drive themselves. You don't make the sacrifice to take them to church. So many times we are whipping the young people. They mustn't get any whipping. It's the adults, their parents must get the whipping. You can't throw me out after, I really don't care. But we must train our young people to love Jesus and to minister for Jesus. God bless those young people who are always active in church. I can call names, but I'm not calling names. You see the result of their activities and God's blessing. If you are faithful to God, you just leave that exam that you have tomorrow. And I'm not saying you mustn't study. Study. Do your best. But come and do God's work and you will be blessed. Oh yes. You will be blessed. We have a work to do. Young people, at your post of duty, at school, you must be a witness for God. Sometimes you have to share your lunch money with somebody who don't have any. Did you know that? I'm sure some of you have been doing that. Yes, you have to minister in your own way to the needy. There are children who don't have good parents and your parents are good and you are reaping the benefits. You automatically become counselors to these young people. But if your life is wrapped up and tied up in sin, you can't do it. But if you live for God, your life will be a power of healing, a power of peace, a power of hope to so many people out there who are hopeless. What is your commitment today? As we come to this final moment of our week of spiritual emphasis, How far are you willing to mingle with those out there in order to win them? You don't have to go to their party to win them. You don't have to. Find another way. Maybe by helping another student who don't have the knowledge that you have about a particular subject. That is a way of ministering. Brethren, young people, I'm laboring right now with what to do to reach you. Do you have a document right over there? I'm laboring and trying to come up with some stuff to do to meet you and reach you. Because a few days, a few years or so, I don't know how long I'm going to live. And some of us who are seniors in the church, we are going out. We will be phasing out soon. And so, if we are not seeing you now, stepping up to the plate, what is going to happen, Dr. Devanish? What is going to happen? We're not seeing you stepping up to the plate. You will run this church a few years from now. But you have to start stepping up to the plate now and do what God calls you to do. I am burdened. That's why I'm expressing it this way. I need to see you. Some adults, I'm burdened about you too. I need to see you. We need to step up with our spirituality. God has been good to a number of us. And we need to be grateful to God and live for Him. Jesus is soon to come. Maybe some of you take it for a joke, you know. You don't understand the fear that is in the world about Ebola and other stuff, you know. You don't understand. People are fearful. And unless you know Jesus, there is no hope. But God has called you and He has given you hope, and He wants you to give hope to the world. What is your commitment today? Is it your commitment to reach those who are in need by whatever means you can? If that's your commitment, could you stand with me?